There is something that is of a critical nature that we all need to be aware of. And this is similar to back in February of 2020. I feel like it's almost a deja vu, because that's when I first started talking about this, and the rest ended up, unfortunately, I wish I'd been wrong, but most of it has transpired since then. And the question that I was always asked is, what do you think about this second wave that they're talking about? Do you think that there'll be a second wave? And I said, of course there's going to be a second wave, but it's not going to be from the virus. It's going to be from the vaccine-induced injury, which will be compounded by the fear that they've created, which will be further compounded by the introduction of new technology, i.e. the 5G, which some people were saying is going to cause COVID. Of course, it's not going to cause COVID, but the science is clear that it causes a disruption in the voltage-gated calcium channels, causing a permeability to many different pathogens, especially enveloped viruses, of which coronavirus is one of those types, but for any type of pathogen. So this was what the concern was back then. And of course, we've seen that that happened, and then the multiple waves that came out. Well, now there's something that is going to be taking place, and I've had multiple confirmations of this, and actually heard a video and talked to one of the parties that had put that video out. And to say the least, it's disturbing, but I'm going to go ahead and just read this to you. And some of you may have already heard about this. So essentially, what appears to be coming down the pipeline is that what has been introduced within the vaccines as we know them, the COVID vaccines, regardless of the type, they have introduced into individuals through these vaccines and the subsequent boosters other components. We have all heard of some of these components. There's talk about the nanotechnology. There's, of course, the spike protein. There are all these different things that are that have been found. There's been the graphene oxide, graphene hydroxide. There's been all sorts of different things that have been found within these vaccines, and still things that we haven't discovered. I know that about a year ago, they found Roundup, okay? That's glyphosate. That's a weed killer in the vaccines. Now, what is a Roundup, a weed killer, doing inside of vaccines? We don't understand that, but obviously there's all sorts of things that are being found that shouldn't be in the vaccines. But this portion that I'm going to talk about now is something that has been, I guess I had suspicions that they're introducing something into the vaccines that are designed to cause a detrimental effect at a time when they want the detrimental effect to take place. Meaning that it's almost like a sleeper cell within your own body. It's there, you don't know it's there, there's no effect from it, but then it can be called upon or triggered based upon any type of signal or chemical, or maybe two inert, relatively innocuous ingredients, but when they come together, they cause something to happen. And that would be the trigger, if you will, that would cause these sleeper cells within your body to awaken. Now, I've felt that for a long time, in fact, even before COVID, that there were things that were being introduced into our bodies that shouldn't be introduced into our bodies. But now we have confirmation of this, and I'm going to go specifically and talk to you about what is actually in there. So essentially, now from two different sources, we have confirmation, and I've talked to one of those sources myself, that there's something within the vaccines that is being considered as a bioweapon, which is, again, not a new term, but that this particular component within the vaccines, it's almost like a payload. Now think of a payload. What does that mean? A payload. A payload is like when there's a detonation, you have a truck or a trailer, and it's got a bunch of dynamite or explosives on it. So they call it a payload. It's designed to deliver a massive eruption or detonation. So they call it a payload because it's not it wouldn't be like a normal onslaught. It would be like a massive onslaught. And so there's going to be a payload with some type of pathogen that will be activated by a sequence of 5G bursts. And these will be basically off of 16 to 18 gigahertz frequency, and it will be essentially three bursts that will be sequential and last a minute. And those will be designed, that those bursts will actually create a signal that will release this payload that is within the hydrogel component of the vaccines. So what exactly is in there? There's supposed to be three pathogens, and these three pathogens are, I'm not 100% sure what these pathogens are, but one of them is what they call the Marburg virus, which is essentially a pathogen that mimics the hemorrhagic fever, that creates a hemorrhagic fever component. It's similar to that. And according to, if you look that up, it says that there's a 22% to up to a 90% mortality. And Google says it's an 88% mortality, meaning that out of every 100 people that get it, 88% or 88 out of 100 will die. Now, that's designed to justify once that release has taken place, once that signal from the 5G towers signals this release. Let me take that back. It's a sequence of three bursts that lasts a minute long. And it's using the 18 gigahertz frequency, or maybe it's the 16 gigahertz frequency. I don't know specifically yet which one, but it's between 16 and 18. It will cause the hydrogel to release this payload off a virus or viral load. And they are supposed to be three different types. I don't know all the three different types, as I mentioned, but Marburg is supposed to be one of those. When that happens, then everybody that's had the vaccine and these boosters will have this Marburg virus released. And again, we know that 22 to up to 90% mortality rate, but that's when somebody encounters it, you know, in a natural way, if you will. Whether when it's inside your body, already introduced and now released within your body, it's probably going to be 100% mortality rate, meaning that everybody that has it, it's going to be triggered and it's going to be released. And when that happens, yes, obviously these people are going to die. And so we're talking, you know, not hundreds of thousands. We're talking about millions and millions of people worldwide. They're going to have this effect. But what's even more concerning than that, and what could be more concerning than that, guys, remember, everybody had a choice. Some people chose to take this. People ran for it. And I can't say that I'm disappointed, because when you've talked as much as I have about this issue and try to warn as many people as I've tried to warn, and they still do it, at a certain point you say, you know, there's only so much I can do, and I'm not gonna sit here and have tears that are being shed because people were not smart enough to use their own brains and look at the science, and instead they just jumped in the bandwagon and believed the BS that was being, you know, fed to them. Because at that point, you know, people have to be responsible for themselves, right? You reap the rewards and you pay the consequences of your actions. And so this is something that I've been, like, most of you know this, and many of you have been talking about this just as long as I've been talking about it, over 2 years at this point. And I can't feel sorry for those people. Now, of course, there may be some people that were forced to do it, but even then, the warnings were out there when people would say to me, oh, what am I supposed to do? I have to do this. You know, it's my job. And if I don't do it, then I'm going to get fired. It's your life. You're telling me that having a job is more important than your life? So you're going to go ahead and do that job and then take the shot because you're saying, well, I'm being forced to do it and I got to do it for my job? My God, I'd rather, you know, I've had people tell me, well, what am I supposed to do? I'd end up homeless. Well, guess what? At least you're alive. Homeless and alive versus the shot and being dead in the next 6 months to 2 years, I don't think there's much of a choice there. I think, you know, how can you even say that, oh, well, they're forcing me to? What do you mean? Unless they tied you down and put a gun to your head and said, you know, take the shot or else I'm going to blow your head off, That's the only way you could say force. And I would say then blow my head off. I wouldn't take the vaccine. That's just me, though. The point that I'm making is I can't get upset or sad at this juncture anymore about the people that have had the vaccine. But here's what the real issue is. So, yes, millions of lives will be lost. And yes, it's disappointing. And yes, it's saddening. And yes, it is what it is. There's nothing that I can do to change that. And we've tried, done everything that I could. And many of you have done the same thing. And many other doctors and researchers and scientists have tried to do the same thing. But what's the most concerning beyond that, because again, these people took that, you know, they chose that. They took that option. The most egregious thing is that those massive numbers of death will then cause a sequence of events to start. And once these cells burst and release the Marburg epidemic, then the Centers for Disease Control and the World Health Organization will assume a control because there's massive amounts of death taking place. And that's where that massive danger lies, because if they can now justify, oh my God, there's massive hemorrhagic fever and they're going to take it to the next level to scare more people, to force more people to get vaccinated, you're going to have all those people dying and they're going to try to justify forcing individuals to get the vaccine. And that's where the real danger is. So I don't know when this is going to happen. I think it's going to be sometime this year. We're already approaching the second half of the second quarter now. We're in another 15 days, we'll be in the second half of the second quarter. So as of July 1st, we'll be in the third quarter. So it's more than concerning, obviously. So the question is, what can be done and when is this going to happen? So as I said, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I would assume that's going to be sooner rather than later, only because they're really, really losing control. They're really losing control because more and more people realize the BS that's about, that's going on about us, you know, around us. And with the recent strike down of the face mask mandate on planes and transportation here in the United States, they are even more, I think, frenzied and panicked. And yes, they've still got a lot of control. There's only about 500, 600, 700 people that are controlling this entire narrative. And then the rest of the people that are following along, they don't know any different. They're just peons and they're following orders and they've been bought out or they've been, you know, bribed, or they could have been coerced or manipulated or threatened. But I think not. I think it's probably more they've been bought out. And this is many of the medical research, scientific community, and many of the politicians and decision makers and leaders of countries. And I really don't think they know what the full implications are. I think some of them may, but most of them probably don't. So when is this going to happen? I think it's going to happen probably sooner than later, sometime this year. And what can be done about it? What can be done about it? So for those people that, let's talk about the people that haven't gotten a vaccine or a booster. I believe for us, we are safe. We're safe from the hemorrhagic fever. We're safe from the fallout from this, if you will. However, if this is going to become that virulent, you know, you could pick up hemorrhagic fever from somebody else around you. But if your immune system is intact, you should be, I would be confident that if your immune system is intact, you don't have anything to worry about because you don't have that massive payload that's being introduced into your body. But for the people that have had the vaccine, what can be done? Is there anything about that? And I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that there is something that we had anecdotal evidence and we've been working on this for the last 2 weeks to see. And I've been looking at the research and looking at a lot of the older medical journals. And again, I don't have any conclusive proof of this, but I also don't want to talk it out openly, only because I think that this is all being listened to. In fact, I know it's being listened to. It's not that I'm concerned whether it's being, whether the message is being listened to or not from the powers that be. It's that if I don't have a large enough venue to say it, it could be stifled. That message could get stifled. So I want to release it at the Advanced Medicine Conference when we know that there'll be a few thousand people in the room and there'll be a few thousand people listening, hopefully many thousand people listening live, because once that we release it, then everybody will have access to this information. I will tell you that it's going to be highly controversial, and I will tell you that it's not going to be a treatment that you have to resort to worrying about, you know, where you can get it, because it's readily accessible. What's interesting is that today I saw a report, and I don't know how old this report is, but it was sent to me by one of my previous patients, and it was very interesting because it talked about how the let's see here, I'll just read it to you. It's talking about how ivermectin, let's see, where did it go? I could have sworn, oh, here it is, hold on. Sorry, guys. Let me just find this here. I thought it was on a certain sequence. So it's basically the federal, there was a federal panel that was put together that recommends, the federal panel recommends against using ivermectin to treat COVID-19 for the first time, right? This is the first time this happened, that they've actually come out officially and said that ivermectin should not be used for the treatment of COVID-19. Whereas, in fact, in Japan, if you go back and you look at some of the things that have happened in Japan, Japan is very, very conservative when it comes to making any type of medical recommendations. And Japan came out and recommended to all doctors to use ivermectin to treat COVID. So it's very interesting how we see these, this juxtaposing of medical opinions being given. Whereas, in fact, the science is very clear, right? Ivermectin is one of the safest drugs on the planet. It's one of the most researched drugs, if not the most researched drug on the planet. It is extremely inexpensive. The people that developed it won the Nobel Peace Prize, and it's been used throughout, you know, decades now as a parasitic. And it's been used in all the different countries, and you can get it over the counter from feed stores and such. And when I was first asked about ivermectin, you know, I said I have a lot of experience with ivermectin in all sorts of animals, dogs, cats, zebra, camels, eland, black buck, yaks, cows, every type of animal you can imagine I have experience with ivermectin. I don't have experience with ivermectin with humans, but as far as with animals, I've been using it for probably 15 years or more. And so it's a very, very safe drug. I've used it intramuscularly. I've used it subcutaneously. I've used it transdermally, you know, many, many different parenteral forms, as well as, of course, oral. And it's a very, very safe drug. So they're coming out and saying that you can't, you know, you shouldn't use ivermectin, and yet other countries have already said that it's very safe to use. And we know how safe the drug is, you know, but don't use a drug that's cheap, that's readily available, that has a massive safety profile, that has been, you know, extensively published with over 10,000 different studies have been published about it. Don't use that, but use an experimental vaccine that was developed a year or two ago that has all sorts of problems with it, that has had the FDA say that they're not going to release the information in a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit that was filed, then finally said that they needed 74 years to release the data, even though it only took them 1 year to develop the drug and release it to the market. But to release the safety data to the public, they needed 70 some years, which of course, thank God the federal judge that was listening to that suit said, you got 8 months to release that information. But at that time, you know, 70 years, if you have a newborn child that's getting the vaccine in 70 years, that 75 years, whatever it is, that person is going to be 75 years old, assuming that they're going to survive the vaccination damage. So this is how ludicrous it is. And no matter when people say, oh, trust the science, well, forget about the science for a second. You know, trust your common sense. The science is settled, but people using that stupid slogan, it's like evidence-based medicine. Evidence-based medicine has nothing to do with based on the evidence. Evidence-based means based on the evidence. But the way they use evidence-based medicine is nothing, it's everything but based on the evidence. It's all, their definition of evidence-based medicine is a double-blind, placebo-controlled, crossover, multi-center trial. Well, remember this about a double, blinded, you know, multi-centered placebo-controlled trial is that it's designed to accumulate facts, okay? Which there's no doubt about. There's no argument there from me. It does collect a lot of facts. But to call that science, to call an accumulation of facts and label it as science is like taking a bunch of bricks and calling that a building. Yes, a building is made of bricks, just like science is made of facts. I agree with that. But you can't take a bunch of bricks and throw them there and call that a house. That's like, that's what they're doing. They're taking a bunch of facts, like bricks, throwing them together and then calling that science. That's like taking a bunch of bricks, throwing it together and calling that a building. No. You got to lay the buildings the right way. You got to use that, create a foundation, then you use that building, the bricks to build the building up. And that's what facts are used to build science. You don't just throw them together in a pile and then call it science, because that's not science. Okay, but that's what they call. They accumulate a bunch of facts and call that science, and that's the definition of evidence-based medicine. So it's this hijacking of terminology and the articulation of that technology is now bastardized and they manipulate it. And that's exactly what they're going to be doing now. This is what they've already done. So saying taking drugs like ivermectin that are safe and that have extensive profiles, and then saying not to use that, but then saying taking experimental drugs, i.e. these vaccines that have caused all sorts of problems. And, you know, we're finding out all these components that are in there that they haven't divulged. They haven't given informed consent. They haven't told people that this stuff, you know, changes your DNA. Even saying things like, well, no, of course it doesn't change your DNA. That's what messenger RNA does. Its job of messenger RNA naturally is to rewrite and repair DNA. So you're rewriting your DNA. And now all the other components that have been found, the nanotechnologies, the metal particulate, when people have the magnet aspect going on, all the side effects that people have experienced, all these other ingredients that people are finding, the graphene oxide and all these other things that have been found, the glyphosates and all these things. And now discovering that there's a payload of pathogens that's been introduced into the body like a sleeper cell waiting for it to be triggered by an electromagnetic pulse at 16 to 18 gigahertz 5G signal. That'll be 1 minute duration, a sequence of three pulses that'll cause a hydrogel to release this payload, and those individuals that have already had, and they're walking around with this payload of pathogens in the system, it'll erupt, release, and they're as certain, it's basically certain death. But then they're going to use those millions of people dying to justify the World Health Organization and the CDC to take over and, you know, impart martial law, whatever they're going to try to do to take control of everybody. That's what they're going to do. It's another false flag type event. So I just wanted to make sure that I get this out to you guys. Again, my audience isn't like the millions that were seeing me on YouTube and Facebook before they took me down. But this video is going to go on my Rumble channel. And I would ask for you guys to find that channel and tell people to go there so they can hear this firsthand.